Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today, I want to start by sharing a story that it may not be true, but it's a story I've heard, and the basics we know are true. So Krishnamurti was one of the big gurus of the mid-20th century, and he drove a Rolls Royce. And one of the things that, that seemed incongruous to some people, but I think he liked nice cars. The Dalai Lama, we know, has one of the biggest watch collections, I think, in the world. But there's a story that a young upstart guru named Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, who is probably better known these days as Osho, was very jealous of Krishnamurti's Rolls Royce and sort of took it quite personally. Over time, Rajneesh collected one of the largest private collections of Rolls Royces. He had 93 at his height. And there's a story that at one point he had all 93 Rolls Royces lined up, polished and gleaming, and had a photograph taken of them and sent the photograph to Krishnamurti and just wrote, "fuck you" on the back and mailed it to him. Now, as I say, I don't know if that part of the story is true, but it raises the exact kind of a question that the entire Caffeine for the Soul podcast is exploring, is what happens when humanity and divinity collide. Now, most of the time I talk about that in the positive sense, which is how our humanity can be informed as an expression of our divinity, how our human experience can be enhanced and enriched by the recognition of the spiritual being that we are. But often it appears to be in conflict. And one way of this kind of came home to me quite recently is I came from a very frugal family. You know, we drove our cars into the ground and then we'd get a new car. And we weren't poor, but, you know, very frugal. And so that's kind of how I grew up. And, so I've had my car for 10 years. It's got over 100,000 miles. I'm actually about to sell it to my daughter, who's just about to get her license. And it's time for me to get a new car for the first time in 10 years. And we've done very well. And my wife suggested, hey, why don't you look at nice cars? And, you know, we've had nice cars in the family before. But I tried, in fact, when I was turning 40, I thought I should have a premature midlife crisis. And I went to a Porsche dealership and I thought, oh, I'll get a Porsche. And it didn't do anything for me. But my wife, while we were there, drove the Cayenne Turbo and she came out of the car at the end of the test drive looking like she'd looked on our wedding day. And I thought, okay, she's the one who needs the Porsche. So we've had Porsches in the family, but it was okay because I wasn't driving it. And then this time I went down, I drove a Porsche, I fell in love. I mean, I'm not somebody who thinks of myself as particularly caring what I drive, but I loved this car that I drove, the Panamera. And then the guilt kicked in and the shame and the childhood conditioning and the humanity, the implications. It's not spiritual to drive a nice car. What will people think? I shouldn't. It's not sensible. And I really wrestled with it and I tried to fall in love with other cars, but I was done for. I test drove as many cars as I could. And in the end, I just went back and bought the Porsche. But here's the thing. I wasn't enjoying the idea of it. Now it's on order, so I don't have it yet, but I wasn't enjoying the idea of it. I was struggling with it. And I thought, what's the point of having this car if I'm not going to enjoy it? And I talked to one of my mentors. And she was talking me through it, and she was laughing at me mostly, was her way of talking me through it. And she was saying, why is enjoying life not spiritual? And I realized that was a really interesting question. I'd never thought of it in those terms, and it made me think of Aristotle's dictum that a virtue is the mean between two vices. So if you take at one extreme, we might have absolute apathy. And in the middle, we might have care. And at the other extreme, we have overcare, we have controlling, we have that kind of desperate need for somebody to do what we think they should do. Well, care, the virtue, is the mean, is the sort of midpoint between the vice of apathy and the vice of control. And in the same way, I started to see, well, wow, that's true of the way that I'm thinking about this, is I think my choices are to be totally attached and lustful for this car, or to just avoid it or try to not care about it. Missing the fact that between those two extremes is simple appreciation and enjoyment of a cool thing in the world. And the image that my mentor shared with me was of the laughing Buddha driving a Porsche. And she said, can you visualize that? And I said, yeah, I actually kind of can. It's a fun image. And she said, do you think he would enjoy it? And I said, oh, I think he'd enjoy the hell out of it. And she said, so why is that any different? She said, look, he might not own it because he wasn't into owning things, but why does being spiritual mean that we shouldn't enjoy life, that we shouldn't enjoy being alive? And that sort of addressed something that I hadn't seen. And it was the gap between the sort of ego food of, you know, I drive a Porsche, I have 93 Rolls Royces, and the sheer appreciation of beautiful things, which is part of the joy of being human. And I realized that there's a fundamental difference between driving a car that you love and driving a Porsche, wearing a watch that you love and owning a Rolex, that the ownership piece, the branding, that is of the psyche, that is of the ego, that is of our conditioning, either for or against. But to appreciate everything that life has to offer is about as spiritual as you can get. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon.